My name is Jeff Sherrock, and I'm a grateful believer in Christ who struggles with self-worth, pride, and pornography. Please join me in prayer. Father God, thank you for drawing me back to you and using others in this ministry to show me your perfect and selfless love. I pray that your story in my life touches someone who is here for the first time tonight, and that you draw them to you as well. I pray all these things in the name of your Son and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So I was born December 13th, 1964 in Dallas, Texas. I was the second and last son. I really don't remember that much about my younger years other than the facts that I was accident prone and I had the scars to prove it, and that childhood was a happy time for me. On the last day of kindergarten in 1970, we moved from Richardson, Texas to Oklahoma City, where we would live until I finished sixth grade. My parents worked hard to provide a good life for us. They did not drink, fight, yell, gamble, or have any real vices of which I was aware. It was during my elementary school days that several significant events occurred, but I only recognize this in hindsight. I started playing little league sports and was never any good at them. I only recall hitting the ball once in several years. I do recall standing in the outfield terrified that the ball would come my way. After a few seasons, I stopped playing. This was hard on me as my father was a very good tennis player and my brother excelled at almost any sport he attempted. Second, I remember developing social anxiety. Doing certain things for me was hard. There was a particular instance at a restaurant where I needed silverware, and I recall being terrified to go get it myself when my parents told me to. I never admitted my fear or lack of self-confidence to anyone, but I know that my parents sensed it as I grew. And finally, somewhere around third or fourth grade, I was exposed to pornography for the first time. I remember it being exciting, but I wasn't hooked. As an elementary school student, I was able to make good grades, but was always disruptive, a class clown. School and life seemed effortless. I still remember feeling awkward socially and made up for that by being obnoxious, a word that I recall being called for the first time in sixth grade. I do remember going to church as a child, but not on a regular basis. I didn't enjoy Sunday school because I didn't understand God's message of grace. He wasn't my personal Lord and Savior. We didn't do family Bible studies. We never talked about addressing problems from a biblical viewpoint or trusting in God for all things. My parents were and are very moral people of great character, but at that time, religion was not a priority in our family. We stayed in Oklahoma until the end of my sixth grade year when Dad was offered a job back in Dallas. Mom and Dad bought a great house in a great part of Richardson, and as seventh grade started, I decided to give sports another try. I began playing junior high football, but never excelled, again, due to my lack of self-confidence. Also at this time, the social anxiety really began to take control, and I began to compensate for how lost I felt inside by acting out and trying to be cool on the outside. It was also in this period of time that I started dating, and I had quite a few girlfriends in junior high. I think this was due to my need to feel wanted and accepted. By the end of my sophomore year in high school, I was done with playing saxophone in the band. I'd quit playing football, and I started developing character habits that still plague me to this day. If something took too much effort, if I was not good at it, I quit doing it instead of trying to get harder or trying to get better through practice. Things that came easy, I stayed with. I realize now that this pattern of quitting was very damaging. I never learned to set goals or work towards them. Nothing was hard for me because I did not allow it to get hard. I let the little voice in my head tell me that I was not good enough, that I did not have what it takes, and I remained a small, scared boy inside, regardless of how I acted on the outside. I drifted through high school, taking only the classes I had to take and doing the minimum amount of work needed to pass. Anger issues began to pop up during my high school years as well. I remember yelling at my father when he teased me about having long hair. I had no respect for rules and regulations and very little respect for the feelings of others. One example of this was sneaking out in my parents' car and wrecking it while they were off on vacation. They fixed it and I was punished, but I still felt I got off too lightly and was soon back doing all the other things that I did at that time, going out at night, drinking, using tobacco. So after I quit everything in high school, I got my first job at a nursery center. I enjoyed the work and learned to love plants and horticulture. I also learned to love girls and going out on weekends and acting inappropriately. I lost my virginity to a girl I met at work and dated for most of my junior year. I look back on this time as a time of being concerned only about me and having fun. The future was not an issue, and I had no real goals or directions in life. I knew that once I finished high school, I would go to college, get a job, and life would continue to be a breeze. I was in for a surprise. I was accepted to Texas A&M, whoop, and decided to study horticulture with an emphasis on landscape design and construction. I did not do well in the unstructured college environment. Left to my own devices, I missed many classes and soon found myself on academic probation. I did, however, do a great job of drinking, going to parties, having an appropriate relationship, and indulging in pornography and masturbation. After 3 years, I failed out of Texas A&M. I know that this was a huge disappointment to my parents, who had given me a free ride to college. They paid my bills, paid my tuition, gave me a car and spending money, and I partied it all away. Upon my return to Dallas, I went through a series of jobs, mostly dead-end ones, spent days working and nights drinking with my friends, and started adding indebtedness to my drinking, womanizing, and pornography. I also began a pattern of getting angry easily and blaming others when I did not succeed. Nothing was my fault. I was drifting through life, waiting for someone else to pay my way or hand me success on a platter. This behavior cost me at least one job, and I continued in all my old self-destructive patterns. No goals, no confidence, no ambition. Work and drink. Live behind a wall of sarcasm, judgment, condemnation. My credit card debt finally got to the point where I could not make ends meet. I had to borrow money from my parents to get out of debt. But again, I was not appreciative and did not really change. It was during this time that I met my future wife. We were introduced by a mutual friend and met socially several times before I finally asked her out. Once we started dating, things seemed to go well for us. I had taken a new job and Martha was advancing with her career, and we spent most of our free time sailing with our friends. Things were going so well, in fact, that in the spring of 96, I asked Martha to marry me at a regatta we were sailing in. Prior to asking Martha to marry me, I asked her father for permission. He made me promise that if we had kids, the kids would be raised in church. I agreed, even though Martha and I were not going to church very often. We married in February of 97 at the church Martha grew up in. We moved into my apartment and started our new life. It was around this time that I got very involved in online pornography. I remember that when Martha would go to sleep, I would leave bed and go surf the net for porn. I remember being preoccupied with pornography since my high school days, but I'm not sure I would have called myself an addict until the 90s. After a few years of marriage, we decided to buy a house and think about kids. In 2000, we bought our current home in Richardson and started working on a family. Our first son was born in June of 2001. Life was great. I was doing okay at work, and Martha's career was really taking off. We doted on our son, and he was the focal point of our lives. In spring of 2002, we learned Martha's father had lung cancer. Before the year was over, Martha's father was dead. Soon, Martha's mother would grow to depend on Martha for everything. It was around this time that I began to completely shut down. I slowly began to do less and less outside the home. I was always on edge, easily angered, and very volatile. During this time, I would say I looked at online pornography on an almost daily basis. In 2004, our second son was born. At first, having two guys was great. On the outside, we seemed to be the perfect family. And around this time, my life began to spiral out of control. When I was outside the home, I was living a lie. I tried to smile and act like everything was okay, but inside I was angry and depressed. I began getting very easily upset by the smallest thing our boys did. I began to get very short in my answers to my wife, and we began to drift apart. Martha tried to handle it all, her mother, the boys, me, her career. This took a toll on her, especially with me not being present to help. I tried to make things look better by coaching Little League sports for Wade or helping out in scouting, trying to hide my guilt and shame behind a mask of fake happiness. One of the high points of this, though, was that we were going to church on a regular basis. We joined a church in Lake Highlands where we had lots of friends, but we were not plugged into a Sunday school class or a community group, and I was wearing my happy mask when I was around the church crowd. We tried to find a church closer to our home so that we could start putting the boys in a church closer to their friends from school, but we never felt connected to the church we moved to and finally quit going altogether. By 2008, my wife and I were strangers to each other. Martha would take our boys to do things and leave me alone with my anger and pornography. The addiction led me to experience incredible guilt and shame. to combat this, I felt like I had to try to perform harder to get love. And when this did not work, I got angry and took it out on the boys with harsh words. I was trapped in a very lonely, isolated, angry, selfish world that I created. On Good Friday, 2009, my wife gave me a letter asking me to get help. By the end of the day, she was asking me to get out. I went to my parents and spent the loneliest weekend of my life, sick at where life had ended up. I was at my rock bottom. The next Wednesday, I met with a therapist for the first time to begin seeking an answer to my issues. I learned a lot about myself, mostly that I was selfish and immature, and that I was the source of all my problems. I learned that I can only change me, and I began working on that. After about a month of therapy, a friend from Watermark approached me and asked me about my problems. He knew that Martha and I were in the midst of marital crisis. He shared the gospel with me and urged me to attend recovery at Watermark. That night, May 29, 2009, I attended Watermark recovery in earnest for the first time. I had attended several times in the past, but my pride in the way got in the way, and I never went back after those first nights. This time was different, though. I was finally broken. I was in jeopardy of losing my wife, my kids, everything that I held dear. Feeling I had nothing else to lose, I went back to recovery week after week. And in the months that follow, I finally began to understand what a relationship with Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior looked like. I learned to see me as God sees me, not the way the world sees me. I learned about the selfless nature of Christ's love for me. A love so great that Christ died to save me, not condemn me. John 3:17 says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." In the summer of 2009, we started seeking counseling together. Again, after a month or so of failed non-secular counseling, we discussed attending Reengage at Watermark. Reengage was tough. My wife and I were barely on speaking terms. I was sleeping on the couch every night, but by the grace of God, we stuck with it. As I continued to work the steps in recovery, God was faithful in bringing about change in my life. When I got to the lessons on confession, God was really leaning on me, pushing me to confess all the sins of my past to my wife. So one night, I put my fears aside and submitted to God. I opened up to Martha about my problems with pornography, self-worth, pride, anger, guilt and shame, and asked for her forgiveness. She forgave me with her words, but we were still far apart. God was still faithful in pursuing us, though. He began to soften my wife's heart. Within weeks of my confession, Martha arranged a time of confession of her own. She was so scared what she would have to tell me would make me hate her or leave her and the boys. And she arranged to have a couple that led our reengage group on hand for support and protection and maybe offer a place to stay if I left. But God had other plans for us. And then the lies we told ourselves would happen if we confessed our sins. James 5:16 says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another, so that you may be healed." God had been working on my heart as well, and I had already forgiven Martha for anything she could have told me. She did not tell me anything I didn't already know in my heart, and I forgave her fully. We left church that night holding hands. This was something we hadn't done in a year. Slowly, we were able to start talking to each other about our hurts and feelings. The walls began to come down. We began sleeping in the same room again, not as husband and wife, but with the intimacy, but slowly returning to that in our relationship. Now my relationship with my wife and kids grows better as I grow closer to Christ. I still struggle with many, if not all, of the same issues, but now I struggle well as a follower of Christ. I have learned about his selfless love for me, and I try to love others the same way. A verse that I lean on heavily through all this is Joel 2:25, "And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten." True to his word, God is restoring me. I am learning that forgiveness is not a one-time act and that I have to forgive as many times as it takes for me to surrender all the hurt to God. I am learning that anger and a harsh tongue will never give me the results that I desire. But when I love my sons and others the way that the Heavenly Father loves me, I am so richly rewarded, and I am learning that living alone, trapped in a world that I created, was a dark, horrible place. But when I come into the light community of Christ Jesus, I am so much happier. So if you are here for the first time tonight, take hope. God is faithful and just, and He loves you. He sent His Son to die on the cross out of His love for you. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. You have done the hard part in admitting that you need help, help that only God can provide. Thanks for letting me tell you about the work that God has done in my life. I know if you submit to Him, He can and will do the same in yours.